This morning's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, the 22nd through the 25th verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 through 25. And this is taken from the English Standard Version. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
More needs to be said about rain or sunshine, I guess, so we'll dispense with that. But it is good to see the sun, amen? Oh, I thought it'd be much more than that, amen. We're glad you're here with us, really glad you're here with us. And we'd love for you to come back and be with us again at 6 o'clock this evening. If you have any interest in angels, that'd be a good time to come back because we're going to be studying that at 6 o'clock. Angels in the Bible. So I really hope you'll come and join us and let's lift up our hearts again to God at that time and give Him the praise that He's due. Go ahead and get your Bible out. We're going to get right to the lesson. There's something coming up after the lesson, so I'm going to try to shorten my lesson a bit. And it's well worth staying for, so don't be in a hurry. When you see me getting close to the end of the lesson, don't gather up your things because there's something else coming, and I want you to hear that as well. But let's talk about the lesson before us now. I remember when I was a student in school, and it could have been middle school, could have been high school, could have been college, and we would have these old, dusty, old textbooks. And I know now they're more electronic than they are hardback, but I would look at that and I'd think, what's this going to do for me? How will this benefit me in years to come? Now, sometimes I was surprised because occasionally it would be that I would learn things that I still use in my life today. And a lot of times I was right. It was of no practical benefit to me. And so why bother? But in the process, I learned how to study, and that was the big thing, learning how to study. But what about the Bible? I mean, the Bible is just so much older than any of those textbooks that we ever used in our school. Why bother? Is there any practical benefit? Is there any way that this will be helpful to us living in such an advanced society, technological as we are? And that's why we're talking today about power in the Word. Power in the Word. That's an idea you find often in the Bible. And when you try it, you're led to say, wow, it's really true. So let's talk about that for a bit. Let's begin by talking about indications of that power in the Word of God. That is this really something the Bible teaches? Oh, yes. And let's begin by looking at some statements that God Himself made that show us that. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 as we begin this particular part of our lesson. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 9 and 10. Now, this point is made several times in Genesis 1, but I'm going to use this section because it will play into something we'll say in just a bit. Genesis 1, verses 9 and 10. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And that's just one of the days of creation that we read about in Genesis 1. But do you notice there that every day God says, let there be? And it was. just with the very words that he spoke that came to pass. Now, it doesn't happen that way today, and I know you know that. If you say, well, I'm going to build a new house, let there be a house right here. Well, it takes a little longer than a day. We don't see that kind of power today. And yet God, just by speaking his word, and here we're talking about the gathering of the waters into one place. There's coming a day when Boone Dam will be repaired, we're told. And when that day comes and they actually begin filling it up, it's going to take more than a day, right? Well, God could do all of that in one actual day. I believe in the actual days of Genesis 1. And so the idea is that is power. There is power in the spoken word of God. Go to Job chapter 38 now. Let's look at another instance of where God talks about that power. Job 38 verses 8 through 11. Here we find God finally responding to Job. Now, up until this point, we're in chapter 38, remember. Up until this time, Job has been wondering, why doesn't God talk to me? Why doesn't God explain to me why he has allowed all of this trouble to come into my life? And now finally, God does speak. And here's just an excerpt of what God says. Job 38, beginning in verse 8. Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Now what God is saying there is, Job, do you know how I did this? Are you really, do you understand how I set the limits for the waves of the sea? And there are limits, generally speaking. When you go to a beach, you can kind of tell that under normal circumstances, this is where high tide comes, and then low tide, you know. We understand that. But God said, do you know how I did that? And notice again there, he said there in verse 11, I said, God said, thus far you shall come and no farther. In other words, by his very words, God established the limits of the oceans. There's a story that comes to us from the 11th century about a man named King Canute the Great. He was the king of what is now modern-day England, Denmark, and Norway, and he was, by all accounts, a good king. And he was bothered by the fact that so many people said, oh, you can do anything, king. You have power that is just like God. And King Canute ordered that his throne be carried out to the seashore. And he sat upon his throne in the sight of all who were gathered there. And as the tide was beginning to come in, he raised his hand and said, stop! And of course it didn't. The waves kept coming in, the tide kept rising. And he said, this is what I've been trying to tell you. I am a human. I can't do things that you say I can. But God can. God's word is powerful. And here's another illustration of that fact. Let me give you one more example found in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. And here's God talking about the power of his word. Listen to what he says about his own power. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire? Declares the Lord. We just sang that song about light the fire in our souls. And how does that happen? Well, God says, my word is like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And did you notice both of those images are images of power? God's word is power. And so the idea is, God himself says, yes, there is power in my word. Well, let's look at it from this vantage point, because we don't hear God speaking like people rarely have in the past. All we know is God's word on printed pages. Is there power in that? Well, let's check. Let's see what the word of God says about that. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to be noticing a word in the next two passages, Scripture. And that word Scripture literally means that which has been written. Now, it could refer to anything. It could refer to a story about the rain that we've been having. It could refer to a story about the sports, you know, the games that we follow. It could refer to a lot of things, but in the Bible, the word Scripture refers to God's Word written down. Now, is there any power in that? I mean, God is not audibly speaking it, so now it's just words on a page, right? Oh, no. Listen to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture, there's that word, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And in a nutshell, what that means is there is power in God's Word, even when it has been written down. It is profitable, it is valuable. And what makes the difference between the Bible and those dusty old textbooks that I used when I was young? It's that they're God-breathed. God-breathed. It's the word inspiration or inspired. And from the Greek word, it literally means God breathed it out. Kind of like when he made that body that would later be known as Adam. And what made that body alive? It was God breathing into his nostrils. Well, this book is God-breathed. It is Scripture. It is that which is powerful. Look at another passage, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And here we've got Peter's statement, very similar to what we just read by Paul. But Peter says this in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, there again, written down, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the idea there is this book is different. This book is amazing because it came to us from God. That cannot be said of any other book. And here we have a book that is filled with the words of God. It is powerful. It changes lives. And that's why I want you now to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Because again, this talks about the power of the Word, even when it has been written down. Listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God, and that would apply whether it is God speaking it right now at this moment, or whether it has been written down for thousands of years, the Word of God is living. It is active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's power. When I read that passage, I think of something in our day and time. It's been around for several years. It's called X-rays, and there's more sophisticated imaging techniques now, of course. But the idea is that here's something that can actually look down beneath the skin, down to the very bone, if you're talking about X-ray. In the case of MRI or CT scans, you're talking about, you know, really looking at details. How does that happen? I mean, it doesn't look like anything is going on. But the scans that are produced will reveal there is a problem here. Here is something that we need to take care of right away. And that's the Word of God, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can even see into my thoughts and my intentions. That is powerful. And if I present myself before the Word of God, I mean, not everybody does, you know that. Maybe some among us right here, right now, don't present themselves before the Word of God. Well, God still knows, but you may not. there's a problem. Something that can be taken care of, but until you come to the Word of God and allow it to scan you, you're going to be oblivious. And it may be too late when you finally realize there is a problem. So there are plenty of indications in the Bible that there is power in the Word. Now, what we want to do next is talk about how do we properly use that? How do we properly use that power that is in the Word of God? Now, again, talking about x-rays, you probably know that in the early days of x-ray technology, there was a lot of things they didn't understand. And the people that would administer x-rays, sometimes they came down with deadly illnesses because they were exposed to too much radiation. There was way too much radiation, and therefore they were afflicted with a lot of things, and often it was lethal, it was deadly. And so they had to learn, how do I deal with this in the proper way? Well, how do we deal with a powerful book like the Bible properly? Let me give you three passages very quickly. The first of those is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And here we've got Paul talking about the Christians in Thessalonica. He is so pleased with them, how they have responded to the preaching of the gospel. Why? Listen to what he says. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, and that's what's happening right now, if you're listening, if you're paying attention, you're receiving the word of God as I read it to you. When you received the word of God, he said, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Now think about that. When I read to you passages from the Bible, now there's a lot of times I'm talking just to try to give my thoughts about what the Bible says. But when I'm reading directly from the Bible, you're hearing the word of God spoken by the voice of Tim. Now, the voice is not important, but the word of God really is. And he says, that's how you received it, as the word of God. In other words, is there a difference between Tim speaking and God speaking? Don't answer that. I know what you're saying already. But yeah, whoever it may be, if it is God, listen. If it's anybody else, well, you judge. You decide. It may or may not be worth hearing. But here Paul says you received it as the word of God, and then notice what he says at the end, which is at work in you believers. If you receive it, if you allow it to work in your life, good things are going to happen. Now, there may be some painful things like surgery, but it's all aimed at removing the cancerous growths in our souls. It's all aimed at rehabilitating us to live the life we should have been living a long time ago. But there is power in the Word if we receive it as the Word of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, the second of the three passages I want you to see as far as how to handle this power. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, Peter says this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Now, truth there is another word for the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said that in his prayer in Gethsemane in John 17, 17. Your word is truth. So here Peter is talking about the Word of God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Now, does anybody here need purification of your souls? And I'm going to raise my hand on that, and I hope you would as well if you were asked to do it right now. We all need that. But he says, we do that by hearing and obeying what God tells us. Verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And there again, that's something pretty amazing about the Word of God. We can be born again. In my past life, I'd made mistakes that I wish I had never made. And I would say, Lord, I'm not a golfer, but here's how I would say it, I guess. Give me a mulligan. Let me do it over again. Is that possible? It is. With God. Now, with people, there's always going to be consequences of what we've done in our past. But with God, the books are clean. I'm forgiven. And that's what he says. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For, verse 24, all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And that simply means that what was true 2,000 years ago when the Bible was completed is still true today. This is an amazing book. And when I come to it, I say, well, I can be born again. I can purify my soul if I obey whatever God tells me to do. That's good news. And then let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Mark 4, 26 through 29. Because there'll be people that will say, well, I don't understand how that can happen, Tim. I just don't get it. How reading the Bible, really meditating on it, devoting my life to it, I don't see how that's going to change anything. Well, think about this parable that Jesus spoke. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, what does that mean? I don't understand how seeds grow. There were many years I raised a garden. Some of you laughed at the way it looked while it was growing out back. But still, we got a good bit of corn, a lot of beans, and a lot of other things out of it. I didn't understand how that seed could, you know, put it in the dirt, and a couple of months later, you're picking beans. How does that happen? I don't know. But that didn't keep me from planting the word, because I knew it would happen, all things being equal. Now, here's the point. Why not put the Bible to the test in your life? Why not say, I'm going to plant this seed that Peter talked about, that Jesus is talking about, I'm going to plant that in my heart, and let's just see what happens. It is the power of God. There is power in the Word. Now, going back to our earlier illustration, suppose that you're a physician, somebody that you've been seeing for several years, you trust this person, you believe they know what they're talking about, and they say, I'm concerned about some things I've seen in your lab work. I think we need to do an X-ray. Would you hesitate? If this is a physician you've come to know, you trust, would you hesitate? Or would you say, can we do it right now? Because now there's a little bit of fear planted in your mind. I'd like to know. God says, there are some problems in your life. And if you'll come to my X-ray machine, if we can use that illustration, I'll show you where those problems are. And I'll help you overcome those problems. Would we hesitate? I hope not. Because this has power. The power to heal, the power to give life. This book has power. And while we're talking about powerful words, let's use one more illustration as we close, and that is a judge. The words of a judge are very powerful, aren't they? They can either say you are going to go to prison for the rest of your life, and that's what's going to happen. Or they could also say, you have served enough time, you may now go free. And those words carry weight. We're talking about the judge of all mankind, the God who judges righteously, but he also judges graciously and mercifully. And the reason God gave us this book of power is so that we might be rescued from our own failures and that we might have life instead of death. And so my invitation to you is the Lord's invitation. Come, all that are weary and are heavy laden, he'll give you rest. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, believe it enough that you'll turn away from your sins, repenting of them, confess him before this group here today, and be buried with him in baptism. Then you'll be forgiven of all your sins. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what I'm telling you, because it is the power of God. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Have you been presenting yourself before this amazing book on a regular basis, allowing God to change your life? And if you need to repent as an erring child of God, I urge you to come. Let's pray together. Let's do whatever we can to help each other. But come now as we stand and sing.